feel no alarm. Amen. I'm going to turn my Bible right side up so I can read it better. But I was thinking this morning, in Ephesians it says, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And I'm going to eventually get to John 11, eventually. But in Mark chapter 5, we have a dead person. And it says in Mark chapter 5, verses starting verse 23, and it says, "And brought him greatly a little daughter," just talking about go to 22, "and behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and brought him greatly, saying, and besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and shall live.' And Jesus went with him and much people." And we know that he went on the way to Jairus' daughter. And we know that on the way to see her, she died. So she was a little while dead. So let's think about it. She's a little while dead. In other words, she hadn't been dead. Maybe if somebody could do CPR or some magnificent maneuver of some kind of respiratory thing, they might could have healed her. If he'd have got there quickly before she had passed, he could have touched her and healed her. But on the way there, she died. Maybe she's been dead a few minutes. Maybe she's been dead an hour, but on the way there, she's dead, and she's only been dead a little while. And when Jesus goes in, we know the story that they laughed at him. What, you're going to make her alive? She's dead. Hello? She's gone. She's passed. And Jesus put them all out of the room, and he went in, and he told her to rise, and she rose again, and she sat up. And they gave her food and stuff to eat. So she had been dead just a little while. Jesus is able to do that. You say, okay, well, that was a little dead. That's a little dead. Let's move on to another place in Scripture. It's called Luke. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "And when he was come nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out." He wasn't just a little dead now, mind you. He's already been wrapped up. He's already been decorated and perfumed and all the things that goes along with being dead. And he's being carried out. "The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." And we say, well, he was showing compassion on his mother, but I want you to understand that when he raises somebody from the dead, he saves them totally. He takes care of this. "And he came, and he said to her, 'Weep not.'" He showed compassion on her. He said, "Weep not." "And he came, and he touched the bier." And for y'all that don't know what a bier is, that's like a hearse. But back in those days, they put him on this thing, a little wagon with the little coffin thing there on it, wrapped up, and they rolled him out to the tombstone. The bier was the wagon that they rolled him out on. So it was a fancy word for hearse. So he came to where the hearse was, where the bier was, and he said, "Whoa!" And he touched it. "And they that bare him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say unto thee, arise.'" Now, he hadn't just died just a while ago. He wasn't just shortly dead. He wasn't just a little dead. He was already graveyard dead. They were carrying him to the grave. Now, you're going to wonder, what kind of point is Charlie trying to make this morning? I'm going to get to this when I get to the end, I promise. What point is he making? We already understand that there's no life. He took care of both of them. They were graveyard dead. And the wages of sin is death. But he raised them up. And then we have one other place where I want to go to this morning, and that will be John chapter 11. And I know this is familiar to you guys and familiar to me also, and I'm going to try to sort of cut to the chase a little bit, but being that my Bible don't have no red writing in it, I got to read all of it, because I can't just look down and say, here's what Jesus said, like some of you guys can, and say where he spoke in red writing. And I like my Bible that way, believe it or not. I like a redless Bible, because all the words are the words of God. But it says here, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Do you know that every one of us who were placed in Jesus Christ, he lovest? Every one of us who was placed in Jesus Christ is sick. Every one of us has even gone beyond being sick. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We have gone past being just sick. See, that's what some other groups would say. You were sick, and so therefore one day you could reach up and ask for some medicine. My point here being is, you're not just sick, but you're graveyard dead. You were, if you're not saved, and if you were graveyard dead. It says, therefore the sister said unto him, behold, the one thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that and said, this sickness is not unto death. Now he wasn't talking about not unto death as a continual death, but not unto death permanent, because he's going to go raise him up later. So yes, he's going to die. He's going to totally be dead. He's going to be so dead that we get to the place he plumb stinketh. And you're going to say, well, I ain't there yet. Oh, yes, we were. Oh, yes, we were. It says here, it's not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified hereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and said, and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard these things, that he was sick, he abode there still 2 days in the same place whereof he was. And I know that the ordinary reading of that, you said, they said, man, if he loved him so much, and he was able to take care of him while he was alive, why didn't he jump on his mule or whatever and take off? And you know, I only hear see Jesus on a mule or a donkey one or two times. Most of the time he walked where he was going. But it says here, why didn't he hurry up and run on over there? If he could have just touched Lazarus and said, Lazarus, you're okay. And yet, for the glory of God, that the Son of God might get glory, he stayed 2 more days. He made sure, not out of anger, not out of spite, not out of trying to do something out of the way, but to prove the glory of God. He said, the only way I can prove the glory of God is Lazarus must be totally dead, without hope, without any chance. He's in the grave. He abode 2 more days where he was. Then after that he said to his disciples, let us go to Jerusalem, or up to Judea. And they're sitting here, huh? Man, what are you talking about? The disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? In other words, if you want to go up to Judea, don't you realize that those people up there that hate you so much, those people up there that want you dead, they're still there and they're going to stone you? Don't you understand that if you go up there and show yourself as who you are, they're going to want to kill you? Well, we get near about to the end of where he's supposed to be before he goes to be crucified, and it's time now to start showing who he is more openly. He's always been showing who he is, but right now, let me show you, I'm not only the one that can heal you. I'm not only the one that can fix your life. I'm not only the one that can bring you health, wealth, and prosperity, sort of like kind of like that here on the TV on Sunday morning, but I'm the one that can give you eternal life later. It says here, If y'all watch TV in the morning on Sunday, don't do that. That'll mess you up. But I have to do that so I can get fired up sometime. He says, Jesus answers, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. So in other words, while it's daytime, we're going to walk. And there's a whole lot more in that about light than we know about. But if you're in Christ, you have light. You don't stumble around in the darkness. We're not faltering around in our old sins. We have a new light to follow after. It says, these things said he, that after that he had saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. He's asleep. Now that's where saved people do. They go to sleep in the Lord. But he says here, he's asleep, and they're saying, well, if he's asleep, that's okay, right? I mean, if he's asleep, he's going to make it. If he's asleep, he's going to pull through. If he's asleep, it'll be all right. It says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. I know last year when I had the flu, I slept the whole time. I couldn't get out of bed, and I wanted to be asleep. And they're sitting here, well, if he's just sick to where he's sleeping, he's going to recover. He's going to be all right. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. He spake of his death. He's not talking about him just resting until he feels better, but he's talking about this man Lazarus is now dead. He had waited till he was dead. What a friend. That's what we would say. What a friend. But for what he gave him, what a friend. What he applies here is not just healing and then you got to die again and be graveyard dead again. But what he's given here is, yes, will Lazarus die again? Yes. But not to eternal destruction. Not to damnation. Because if God has made him alive, if God has raised him from the dead, if God has showed mercy on him, he will bring him to that heavenly place one day where he's at. It says, he spoke to him, he said, he is dead. But they thought that he had spoken of him taking of rest and sleeping. And Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm not fooling around with you. I'm going to be straight up with you. Lazarus is dead. And they said, well, what's the use in going then? If he's already dead, these disciples were not expecting what they're going to see today. Yes, he could walk up to a bier before they're buried. Yes, he could walk up to a little girl before she starts to pass on out and start smelling bad. Yes, he could do that. Oh, yes, he could fix people that way. But Lazarus has been dead already 2 days. We know they've already wrapped him in his cloth. We know they've already put ointment and oils and aloes and all those things all around the body. We know that he cannot move even if he wanted to. He is dead. And you sit here and say, what are you trying to apply to? I'm trying to apply to us. Before we were saved, we were dead just like this. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. Able to understand the things of God. We were dead. We were wrapped up in our sins. We were wrapped up in our grave clothes. We were totally in bondage to sin and death until God. But God, who is rich in mercy. But God says, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die. I don't want to go with Thomas nowhere. His whole concept is, well, if he's dead and they're going to stone you when we get there, let's just all go die together. Que sera, sera, we'll be happy. And then Jesus came and he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. 4 days dead. 4 days gone. 4 days already. He wasn't just died a while ago. He wasn't just loaded up on the bier a while ago and headed out to the graveyard. He's done in the grave. He's done had the services. They've done pronounced him gone. His body has begun to rot. His body has started to stink. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. He is totally, without a doubt, dead. And that's what we were spiritually. We were totally stinking in front of God. We were totally rotten and corrupt in front of God. Without that life that comes from being raised from the dead, without that quickening that gives us new life, we are hopeless and without hope in this world. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And we know that they used to have people that come around to comfort people who were dead back then. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went to meet him. But Mary sat still at the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord. And sometimes I kind of wonder if she's sitting here, you know, we sent a message to you 2 days ago. And I'm not trying to put words in her mouth or try to make her look like she's doubting here, but she said, Lord, if thou had been here, you know, if you'd have hurried back, if you'd have just took our heat and come on, he wouldn't be dead right now. I know that if he was still alive while he was just sick, you could have fixed him. Now that's how we feel about it sometimes. If he'd have just got here on time. He was on time. Martha, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God. She hadn't connected the dots yet. Whatsoever you ask of God. Says, God will hear thee. In other words, if you would just ask God now, in my pain, in my hurt, and all this, I know that God, way up there somewhere, could hear what you're saying. And God would do so. She's talking to very God now. She's talking to the one who created her now. She's talking to the one that all things consist because of him and for him and by him now. She hadn't connected the dots yet. She said, if thou hadst been here, he's always been here. He's always been there. He says, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's talking about physical death. That's talking about physically he would not have died. Says, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask God, he will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. She had heard him preach about the resurrection. She had heard him preach about another life. She had heard all these prophets talk about life after death. She had heard these things. Your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. In the last days, at some time way, way off yonder, whenever God decides to bring all the saints to the house, he'll rise again. Someplace way out yonder, God might do something later on. I know that. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am. I like to stop right there. I am. What did God say, Abraham? I am. And he uses it right there. We slide right over it because he goes into I am the resurrection. But it is I am. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead in trespasses and sins, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the Savior. Though you are dead, if you believe in me, I will give you life. It says, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In other words, all those who have died in Christ, wherever they died, wherever they were, one day he's going to raise them up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody sent me that this week. I was glad to see it. I was glad to see it. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. You know what? A saved person doesn't die like a lost person does. I know people say, well, they're dead, right? One is, I'm just sleeping in the Lord. I'm just waiting for the resurrection. Now, my soul, my spirit is done, gone to be with Jesus. It's right there with Him right then and there. If I'm a dead person, if I died right now, I'm there. I'm just waiting for that new body. I'm just waiting for that resurrection. But I've already trusted in the one who is life. I've already put my faith in the one who can give life. Who is the resurrection? Who is the life? It says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he looked her in the eye and said, believest thou this? And I'd like to look everybody in the eye and say, believest thou this? That Jesus Christ is the life? That Jesus Christ is the resurrection? That Jesus Christ saves His people? Believest thou this? He didn't tell him any great thing to do except to believest that I am. And she saith unto him, yea, Lord. I believe she said it weakly, though. I don't think she was giving a big, great cry out there. She says, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. Not just a man, but thou art the Christ. What did Peter say? Some say you're Elijah, and some say you're some great prophet, but I say thou art the Christ. There's a difference there in him being just a prophet. He's just a prophet. He can't do nothing for us. If he was just some preacher man somewhere, he could do nothing for us. But if thou art the Christ, man, you got some power going on there. She says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Not just some person that was born there in Nazareth someplace or at Bethlehem someplace, but thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe you're here. I believe you're the one. I believe you're the Christ. That's all we have to believe to be saved, is believe those three things, that He is the Christ, that He's the resurrection, that He's the Son of God. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. In other words, let me check on my folks. He's checked on Martha. Let me check on Mary, see how she's doing, what's going on with her. And then she says, called unto her, the Master wants to calleth thee. And as soon as she heard, she arose quickly and came unto him. Man, that'd be something for us to get a hold of. Whenever He's calling on us, jump up quick and get about our business, right? That's another sermon right there. We'll lay that to the side. That's for us guys who are a little slow. And as soon as she rose quickly. Now, Jesus was not yet coming to the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. So He's still basically in the same place. And the Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw that Mary rose up with haste, went out and followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep. Now, I want you to understand that I've seen that many, many times. After a funeral, they'd be sitting around at the house. They'd be drinking coffee and eating cakes, and everybody'd be talking. And somebody said, I want to go out to the cemetery. It never fails. Somebody wants to go out to the cemetery. I don't know what's out there they want to go do, but let's go out to the cemetery and see the headstone and the flowers and those things. So they're sitting there. Maybe she's going out to the grave. Maybe she's going out to the cemetery. She's going to go out there and pray and weep there. Then when Mary was coming where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. She knew who he was. She knew what he was. She's the one that sat there and needed that good thing while Martha was cooking and cleaning and doing everything else. She knew exactly who Jesus was. She fell at his feet. She's the one who cried on his feet and anointed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She was the one who was not ashamed for people to look at her and say, "Look at this girl. What does she think she's doing?" She was one who was not ashamed to be at the feet of Christ. Well, that's another sermon. Well, we have to mark two or three places here. And when Mary came to Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord," and she says basically the same thing that Martha says, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She had great faith that while he was just sick, she had great faith that while he was in the neighborhood, he could have done something and fixed him up. "If you had just been here, Lord, he would not have died." And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, you don't reckon he sees our weeping? You don't reckon he sees us when we break down and we finally cry or whatever about somebody that's passed away? When he saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He cares when a saint dies. He cares when a saint hurts. In fact, in one place the Bible says there's even weeping in heaven when a saint dies. It says here, and said, "Where have they laid him?" Now we know he knows where they was, but you know, because of the people sitting there, and you know, you got to understand he's got to talk to people like us. Well, where's he at? Where's the grave? Let's go to the monument. Let's go see the headstone. Let's go to where you've placed him. "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see. It's a nice tomb. It's a great tomb. We've got a big rock in front of it. It's a well-furbished tomb. I mean, we buried him good." You ever heard people say, "Man, the cemetery plot was just fabulous. Had a big tree there, man. The headstone was magnificent. I could just see him say, 'Man, we placed him in a very good spot. Come and let me show you where he's laid at.'" For us, that's the way we think about that. Jesus wasn't quite thinking the same thing. He says, "Where have they laid him?" And they said, "Come and see." And Jesus wept. Because they're thinking about showing him this nice big old burial place. And he's thinking about, "I'm going to show the glory of God here in just a few minutes. I'm going to show the power of God to these people here in just a few minutes." And he said, "Behold." And he wept. And behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind and caused even this man who should have not died?" In other words, we know that he's healed the lame. We know that he's healed the blind. We know that he took care of the lepers. Man, he could have saved this one if he'd have just been here. Couldn't he have done all that had he done it while he was still alive or while he was still just sick? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself coming to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone. Take away the stone. Let's dig this coffin up. Let's open up the thing here." He says, "Take away the stone." And Martha's sister said unto him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, maybe you don't understand here, Lord." And kind of like what Peter would say to somebody, right? Say, "Lord, maybe you ain't got this down yet. He's not in there taking a nap. He's not in there just resting. Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. Lord, he stinks. Lord, are you going to make us have to redo this? We have already buried him. We've already placed him in the ground. We've already know that he's passed on. Lord, he stinks. He's rotten. He's been in the grave for 4 days. You can't get no deader than that. I mean, you're dead. That's the way we were. That's the way we are before Christ. I'm going to get to my point here in a minute. I really am. You say, man, you ain't made a point yet? No, I'm getting to my point. And Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Haven't I done explain to you, if you would just believe that I am, that I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection. Didn't I not tell you this? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said to the Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, he didn't have to pray out loud for God the Father to hear him. Him and God the Father were already talking the whole time. He didn't have to say it out loud. God the Father heard every word Jesus always said. But because of the people, because of folks like me who need somebody to say, wow, did you see him talking to God? And we know he talked to God because look what's fixing to happen. He says, I took away the stone. He says, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou mayest believest, thou hast sent me. In other words, I spoke out loud to you, Father, so that they could hear me, so that when you do what you're going to do, or when I do what I'm going to do, they'll know that you sent me. There's no doubt about what's taking place here. This is a God thing. He stinks. He's dead. He's totally wrapped up in this thing called grave clothes. And he said, thus he spoke and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And I know there's all kinds of stories about what if he'd called some other Lazarus or whatever. We're not going to go there. There could have been 20 Lazaruses in there. But the one he was calling would have come out. But it says here, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And nothing else happened, right? No. God has just spoken. Life takes place. Creation takes place. He says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and set him free. Now, I want you to understand this. Now, this is my old ways coming out a little bit. But you're going to come to Jesus just like you are. Right here it says it. He couldn't say, well, let me comb my hair. Let me start reading my Bible. Let me get religious. He's wrapped up in grave clothes. He's wrapped up in sin. He's wrapped up in his sinfulness. He stinks and he's rotten. And Jesus didn't look in the tomb and says, wash him up, clean him up, and then bring him to me. No, he didn't. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And that man that was dead, that man that stunk, that man that was all wrapped up in the stuff where he couldn't move or do anything he wanted to do on his own, come hopping out or crawling out like a worm, whichever way. And he came forth wrapped up from head to toe and he was cut loose. They gave him liberty. And if you're going to come to Christ, you're not going to come to Christ by cleaning up your act. You're not going to come to Christ by learning the Bible or by acting religious or acting like you're a Christian. You're going to come to Christ just the way you are. You're going to admit your sinfulness. You're going to admit your ungodliness. And you will come to God when He calls you just like that. He didn't wash His hair. He didn't clean up Himself. He didn't get a new Bible. He came just like He was. Now, I remember now, He was called out. He was called out. But when He was called out, He came. He didn't say, well, I'm going to lay here a while longer till I figure this out. Hello, I can remember when He called me out. I started growing in Christ. I didn't just lay there for a while and say, I'm sure, is this really what's happening? No, God started working things out. He took a dead man and made him alive. He took a dead man and showed him God's stuff. That's what He does to all saved folks. Somebody who was dead in trespasses and sins. Someone who was unable to do anything for himself. Someone who is hopeless and without help. He calls them out and says, it's you today I'm here to get. It's you. Somebody might be you today. I don't know. It says here, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Soul liberty. Freedom. I am more free than I have ever been in Jesus Christ. Not free to sin. Hopefully I don't do that. But I am as free as you can get. I have been set free from that bondage of sin. I have been set free from being wrapped up, for all that ever consumed me was sin and more sin and wanting to do more sin. Now I have an opportunity to do right. Now I even think right sometime. But I have a difference. Sin does not control every move I make. Don't say it got away from me. I'm not saying it ran off very far, but it don't control me. That's the thing about being cut loose. That's what God does for us when He saves us. He cuts us loose from that bondage of sin, that death that stinks upon us. Then it says here in my Bible, some of them that went their way, I might skip the verse, hang on. Then many of the Jews which came with Mary and seen the thing which Jesus did, believed. Not all, but many. There's always a many. Always a many. Everybody there didn't, because we see some go to the Pharisees in the next verse and start talking about how we can get rid of Jesus. But there were some there, by the grace of God, saw what God did, the glory of God shone through on them, and they believed in Jesus Christ. Because this man was raised from the dead, because this man was set free, they believed. Of course, the rest of this chapter is talking about trying to get rid of old Lazarus and Jesus together. So we'll stop there. But it says here, and I've asked you, has God taken your grave clothes off? Has God told you it's you I have saved? Has God says it's you that I've come for? And if so, tell us about it. Tell us what God has done for you. Let us be able to praise God and worship God and what He's done for you. So if God has touched your heart, if God has opened your eyes to your deadness and to His aliveness, let us know. Brother Keith?